Lanterns Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Moving Lanterns Podcast, episode four?
Four.
Episode four. I'm Jane.
I'm Charlotte. Jane is eating lunch.
I am eating lunch, so you'll have to excuse me on that one. So we're here to talk about animated films. First thing I need to mention is last podcast, when we were looking at films coming out in the next 2 weeks, I mentioned Strange Magic. IMDb have since updated the release date for Strange Magic. It's not being released in this country till the 28th of August. So, ignore what I said last week about it coming out in the next 2 weeks. It didn't.
Excellent.
So, this podcast will be talking about films we've seen recently, films released this week and next on home video, and things coming out in the cinema. And then we'll move on to a bit of news. And then we'll do film club, and our film this week was Brave. So, Charlie, have you seen any good films this week, or animated TV, or anything?
I have done. I saw Shaun the Sheep.
Oh, you did? I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, it's really thoroughly enjoyable. And, well, I mean, there are many, many, many aspects of it that are enjoyable. And the fact that it stayed true to the television programme and kept it all with no dialogue and everything was very visual. It was fantastic. But in particular, we were very amused by the fact that in the closing credits, Omid Djalili is credited as being the voice of the baddie, even though there is no dialogue.
No way.
It's great. So he obviously made like all of the, you know, the noises,
the grunts and things.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was very, very enjoyable. I recommend it to young and old. And I also saw. I watched Filth, which isn't an animated film. It's the Irvine Welsh adaptation of the Irvine Welsh novel Filth.
Yeah, James McAvoy's in it, right?
Yes, and it's incredibly dark. But the closing credits of it is a very amusing animation.
Oh, okay.
Especially in the context of the rest of the film and how it ends. Basically, it couldn't be more dark. Like, it's usually probably the darkest film I've ever seen, and it couldn't be more like it couldn't end in a more dark way. But yeah, the closing credits are a nice, jolly animation, which is really funny.
completely different tone to the rest of the film.
Completely different. It was really funny. So I recommend the film because it's a really good film. But in particular, the closing credits are fun. So
I saw Big Hero 6. I got around to seeing that. I wasn't the biggest fan. It was okay, but I felt that it was a generic superhero story. There wasn't really anything extra to it.
Yeah.
And in terms of, it's called Big Hero 6, but it's only about two characters of the team.
Yeah.
Which, it reminded me a lot of How to Train Your Dragon. It didn't feel like a Disney film, it felt like a DreamWorks film.
Okay.
It's not to say it's not good, I enjoyed it, but it was not my favourite Disney film that's come out. You can read my review of it on the website. I hope I was just not in the right mood for it, and I'll enjoy it a lot more next time, considering how well it's doing at awards, which we'll get on to. Anything else you've seen?
I don't think so. Well, apart from the animation shorts we saw in Berlin.
Oh yeah, we should talk about that. We went to Berlin Film Festival. We went to the Berlin Film Festival. And we couldn't
we're
get
really
tickets.
Good at German.
We're really good at German. No, we're not at all.
No.
We couldn't get tickets to the shorts, animation shorts programme, so we got tickets to another shorts programme that featured a lot of animation.
Mm-hmm.
It was aimed at younger children.
Yeah, children of ages 4+, although I would debate whether or not a couple of them were actually appropriate for that age group, but...
Yeah, some of them were a bit dark.
Incredibly dark. Especially the one where the stop-motion animation... where the kid got kidnapped by the circus.
Yeah,
that was... If I'd have seen that when I was a child, that would have given me nightmares.
That was, yeah, very creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But our full reviews, our reviews of that are on the YouTube channel, which we now have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Woo! You can see what we look like.
Yeah, the website's had a total revamp in the last couple of weeks. So it's all been redesigned and it's all pretty now, and there's a YouTube channel and all sorts. So go onto a website. There's now a community section for film club and fan art of the week we do. So if people want to submit fan art, just email it to contribute@movinglanterns.com. That's our plugging done.
Excellent.
The Moving Lanterns podcast.
So, should we move on to films this released? Films released this week and next week on home video.
Yes, okay.
There's only two, and they don't come out to the 2nd of March. One is a Sophia the First DVD, which is Disney's animated cartoon of a Disney princess. And then the other one is a DVD called The Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson,
ooh,
which features some pilots and some rare footage and things. That's the only two coming out on home video in the next 2 weeks. We're in a bit of a lull.
Yeah, it seems that way. I guess everything's coming out in the cinema because it's like half term and stuff and nothing on home video.
Well, there's not a lot coming out in the cinema either. Because if I move on to animation in the next 2 weeks, the only thing released animation-wise in the cinemas is Chappie on March the 6th. And that's not full animation, that's just for the main characters animated.
Yeah.
Chappie is the new Neil Blomkamp film. It's live action with an animated main character, which is the police droid. And I'm including it because we're going to include Ted 2 at some point, and I think it's only fair, if we're including Ted 2, we should include Chappie.
Well, I was unaware of the existence of Chappie until I was having a conversation about it with my housemate 2 days ago, I think. But I'm a big fan of Neil
Blomkamp. That's how I'm pronouncing it. I don't know if that's how you're meant to.
I'm a big fan. Well, I really like District 9.
District 9 is great.
And I'm really excited about the fact that he's doing an Alien film.
Yes.
Because the concept artwork looks really, really good. So I'm quite interested to see it, to see Chappie and to, yeah.
So the new Alien film is happening and Prometheus 2 is happening.
Yeah.
That seems overboard.
I would be of the opinion that I won't believe that Prometheus 2 will happen until it's in the cinemas.
Unless they're Marvel Universing it.
Yes. What do you mean by that?
I mean, trying to get multiple franchises within one franchise.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Because that's the way to go now.
Well, I'm quite amused by the X-Men approach to that, where they they rebooted X-Men, but then they combined them all together.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really weird.
Well, they're splitting them again because Deadpool is Fox, and so is Gambit.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've moved out of animation slightly here. But it's superheroes, which is my second favourite topic. But, yeah, Gambit and Deadpool are both separate. So, they're doing it slightly.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah, I guess they are. And I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up with a... Well, I guess, no. I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up with some form of either a Magneto solo story or a Professor X solo story, but I guess then that is still ultimately just kind of X-Men,
Wolverine,
isn't it?
Wolverine solo story.
I'm so bored of Wolverine.
Everyone's bored of Wolverine. The comics are bored of Wolverine. It's a common complaint in the comics is that he's too main a character.
Yeah.
He's just boring.
Yeah. Well, it's like, why is it Wolverine? They send back in Days of Future Past, and in the comic it's Kitty Pryde. Like, why?
I know. She's... And why does she randomly have this power to send people into the past?
I know.
They never explain that.
Although, to be fair, they...
Walking through walls.
And they also don't explain why, why Magneto's ability to move metal means that he can fly.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. No. I never thought about that. Well, maybe he's pulling himself up from his hat.
But surely he'd just pull the hat off.
That's yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Let's not think about trying to find plot holes.
Maybe we should move back to animation.
Perhaps we should.
should I read the IMDb synopsis for Chappie?
Oh, yes, do.
Just so people know what we're talking about. Which is, in the near future, crime is patrolled by an oppressive, mechanised police force. When one police droid, Chappie, is stolen and given new programming, he becomes the first robot with the ability to think and feel for himself. So it sounds a little bit like iRobot.
Well, yeah. Well, to be honest, it kind of just sounds like... It doesn't sound very original, but I'm sure it'll be...
It's RoboCop and then iRobot.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be good, hopefully. To keep this relatively relevant, like our previous conversation relatively relevant, Chappie does star Hugh Jackman.
There we go, we've found a segue.
Yep.
We're just doing the segue after the conversation.
Yes, we are.
It's a new way to do it. So I don't have any special mentions coming out in the next 2 weeks either. It's film festival time, so there's not a whole lot coming out. Mm. Do you have any special mentions for the next couple of weeks?
I've got to be honest, I have no idea what's actually coming out over the next couple of weeks. I'm currently
There's not
on
much at all.
I'm on major catch-up mode, where I've sort of missed a load because I was busy. And
have you watched Jupiter Ascending yet?
I have not watched Jupiter Ascending yet.
Space Bees.
Yes. No, I managed to catch up with Selma yesterday, but I'm still looking to catch up with sort of Whiplash, and I should watch Boyhood at some point. I mean, again, not animation related, but like...
just things that you should watch.
Things I should watch, but I haven't... so I should think that's what I'll be doing for the next few weeks. So I don't know what's coming out at all. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's not a whole lot coming out. I did have a look, and it's mainly film festival stuff. So Glasgow Film Festival's happening.
Yeah.
So there's a lot coming out with that, but nothing really big.
Yeah.
And nothing that's got a lot of animation in that I can tell.
The Moving Lanterns podcast.
So, shall we move on to news then?
Let's.
So, quick thing, we've started covering news on the website too. So to see any of these stories more factually, so less opinion-based, and to see the sources we've gone from, have a look there. So first of all, Visual Effects Society Awards happened, VES Awards. They happened like 2 weeks ago at this point, but because we pre-recorded last time, we're a bit behind on the news. So, should I do what I did from the Annies and just go through them and we can comment on any we want?
Yep.
So, Outstanding Visual Effects in a Visual Effects-Driven Photoreal / Live-Action Feature Motion Picture. They have pretty specific categories at the Visual Effects Society Awards, if you didn't notice that one. It's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Outstanding Supporting Visuals in a Photoreal or Live-Action Feature Motion Picture was Birdman. And I imagine that's what you were talking about when you were talking about the animation Birdman.
Yeah.
Outstanding Animation in an Animated Feature Motion Picture, Big Hero 6. I am so annoyed Big Hero 6 is winning so much awards.
Oh, you're like that. It's like the, it's like me and How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah. Outstanding Visual Effects in a Visual Effects Driven Photoreal or Live Action Broadcast Programme, Game of Thrones, for the episode The Children. Outstanding Supporting Visual Effects in a Visual Effects Driven Photoreal or Live Action Broadcasting Programme, American Horror Story Freak Show, the episode Edward Mordrake Part 2. I keep meaning to watch American Horror Story. The makeup in it looks incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I've sort of, how can I put this politely, it's been recommended to me, but it's been recommended to me by people who I wouldn't necessarily trust.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have people like that. They say, you should watch this, you'll love it. I'm like, will I?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Outstanding real-time visuals in a video game is Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which... I mean, I've seen a bit of the gameplay, it does look pretty good, but it also looks a lot like Titanfall, so I don't know. Outstanding visual effects in a commercial, SSE Maya, I don't know what that is. Outstanding visual effects in a special venue project, Ratatouille, L'Aventure Totalement Touquet de Remy. Sorry for my terrible French, we've already established I can't do languages. That is the Ratatouille film that's gone with the ride at Disneyland.
Oh, okay. There's a Ratatouille ride at Disneyland?
Yeah, I think it's at Disneyland Paris.
What does that involve? That does make sense.
I have no idea what it involves. I'm guessing it's like a 4D thing.
Oh, probably.
Outstanding performance of an animated character in a photoreal or live-action feature motion picture is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes for Caesar. Outstanding performance of an animated character in an animated feature motion picture was Baymax in Big Hero 6. Outstanding performance of an animated character in a commercial broadcast program or video game was SSE Maya. Outstanding created environment in a photoreal live-action feature motion picture was Tesseract in Interstellar. Outstanding created environment in an animated feature motion picture was Into the Portal in Big Hero 6, which is basically a Stargate.
Okay.
And inside it looks all galaxy-like. I didn't think it was that outstanding. But I'm not an animator, so maybe it's incredible animation-wise, but... Outstanding created environment in a commercial broadcast program or video game was Game of Thrones again for Bravos Establisher. I need to catch up on season 4 of Game of Thrones.
I haven't watched beyond season 1.
I watched up to 3 and then lost Sky Atlantic, so I couldn't watch season 4. I've got it on iTunes, but I haven't watched it yet. Outstanding virtual cinematography in a photoreal or live action motion media project. That's a tough one to say. X-Men Days of Future Past, the kitchen scene. Which was incredible.
Oh, that is like the one of the best, honestly,
so
one
good.
Of the best action sequences I think I've seen. Like, it kind of makes you forgive the fact that the rest of the film is a mess.
It's the time in the bottle scene, isn't it?
Scene, yeah.
It's so good. Outstanding models in any motion media project was City of San Francisco in Big Hero 6. That is how you pronounce it. Because I keep wanting to call it San Francisco, and it's not.
Okay.
Outstanding effects simulations in a photoreel or live-action feature motion picture was X-Men Days of Future Past again with the kitchen scene. Which, should win all the awards for visual effects. Outstanding effects simulations in an animated feature motion picture is Big Hero 6. Outstanding effects simulations in a commercial broadcast program or video game is Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey, which we spoke about when we spoke about the Annie Awards.
Mm.
Outstanding compositing in a photoreel live-action feature motion picture was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Outstanding compositing in a photoreel live-action broadcast program is Game of Thrones again. I didn't realise Game of Thrones had so many visual effects in it.
Dragons?
Other than those, you don't really notice it, though, do you?
Yeah.
Outstanding compositing in a photoreel live-action commercial is SSE, and outstanding visual effects in a student project is Wrapped. So that's all the VES effects awards. So there's quite a lot there. I mean, we don't follow visual effects quite as much as animation here, but I figured it was worth a mention.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on to the Academy Awards.
Ooh.
Which happened for us when we're recording this last night. Big Hero 6 won animated film. I'm annoyed at this. Your thoughts first.
I don't have an opinion because I haven't seen Big Hero 6. I'm pleased it wasn't How Strange Happened 2. But
I can tell you're pleased with that.
I haven't seen Big Hero 6. I'd have rather it been the Box Trolls, just out of studio preference.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we all know it should have been the Lego Movie. So
yeah, well, Disney won last year as well.
Yeah, well,
I mean, last year I think they deserved it more than this year. This year I don't think that was the best film on the list. Frozen won last year.
Yeah,
I can see trying to work it out.
Yeah, no, I was like, yeah. So like, it was a bit like yesterday, to my housemate, I was like, what won Best Original Song last year? I was like, Let It Go, obviously. felt like a bit of an idiot.
So then, also at the Oscars, the Best Short Film, Feast won, which is Disney again, which is the little short that ran before Big Hero 6. I loved Feast, and I wonder if that's why I didn't like Big Hero 6 as much, because it set up my expectations too high.
Okay.
But I thought Feast was really good. But the fact that Disney won both seems a bit odd.
I think there's kind of this view that they spend more money campaigning. And also, I remember last year, they had that short, that Mickey Mouse short.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't very rememberable.
Yeah, but I remember there being that one. And I remember there being lots of talk about the fact that it had somewhat been shoved down the throats of the voters. Like, they'd made it basically impossible for them to have not seen it, which with shorts is quite... I think having, you know...
Yeah, you should watch all the shorts. It's not exactly difficult.
Yeah, but they probably don't. And just...
No, I've read a lot of things this week about Oscar people coming out and saying, oh, I don't watch the films, I just vote based on commercials or whatever.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of stuff about that this week, and it made me basically lose faith in the Oscar Awards, what little faith I had.
Yeah, well, I kind of... Yesterday was great. I was intending to watch them, and then we went to see Selma, and I was like... My level of desire to watch them was just down the pan, because Selma's amazing. And
The only part that I've watched is the performance of Everything Is Awesome.
Yeah,
which is just insane.
I stayed up until that performance, and I watched that. That was about an hour into the ceremony, and then I was like, I feel like it's probably peaked now, so I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah, I was like, is everyone making this high? It's just insane. It was great, though. I started watching it, I was like, okay. And then it just got more and more ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was actually Will Arnett singing.
Yeah, I know. Yes. And they had the Awesome Possum.
The Awesome Possum. Oh, it was just... If you haven't watched it yet, go and watch it on YouTube or something, because it's just amazing. Yep. And then the other one is We Were in Berlin when the BAFTA Awards happened.
Oh, yes.
And the Lego Movie won Best Animated Feature. Yay!
Yay!
I mean, that's all we've got to say on that is it rightfully won.
It's probably one of the few things BAFTA got right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Sorry, ooh, that's just
controversial. It's not actually that controversial.
But I just can't get over the fact that their best British film category contained the films 71, Paddington, Under the Skin and Pride, all of which are absolutely fantastic, and they gave it to The Theory of Everything, which is just a pile of
I'm
sorry.
I won't cut it out this time, though. I'll actually bleep it.
Okay.
Because I figured out how to do that now.
Yeah, it's just... Oh. Anyway. Sorry. Really, it's really fine. Annoys me, because they're such good films. Anyway, yeah. Right.
Okay, so next piece of news is that Gaumont Animation in France are making a new 2D Laurel and Hardy series, which, I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of Laurel and Hardy, but the idea of bringing it to a new generation is quite cool.
Yes.
I quite like that.
Yes. I'm in agreement. Really? I haven't seen that much either. So, should be interesting.
I've seen far more Charlie Chaplin stuff than Laurel and Hardy stuff.
Yeah. Me too. Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton.
They could do a cartoon of that. But it reminds me of sort of in the early 2000s where they're making cartoons of a lot of sort of big comedy things, like the Mr. Bean cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of reminds me of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, next piece of news. Dia de los Muertos, which is Pixar's Day of the Dead film we've been hearing about for ages without hearing a release date, it's rumoured it might be a musical.
Ooh. Well, yes, I'm going to go with ooh until I discover the song's rubbish.
Not with Randy Newman. He's the one who has leaked this. It might not be true. I don't know how substantial the rumour is. But the idea of Pixar going into the musicals game worries me slightly.
Does it?
Because it's basically... I've been feeling for a while that the distinction between Pixar and Disney has been getting less and less in Disney animation.
I would agree with that, and but I don't want to exactly voice all of my thoughts because I will come back to it when we talk about Brave.
Okay, but yeah, that's I've sort of been feeling that more and more, that Pixar are basically becoming Disney and Disney are becoming Pixar, and they're becoming one thing. And musicals is very trademark sort of Disney.
Mm.
So it worries me slightly. I mean, I might be wrong. It might be completely distinctive and on its own, but it doesn't seem like that to me.
Yeah.
Basil Brush has got a YouTube channel. This makes me very happy.
Excellent.
I used to watch Basil Brush all the time.
So did I. Well, I remember, because it's funny, because when we were young, in like the early 2000s, probably late 90s even, late 90s, early 2000s, I don't know exactly when. But like, I remember when Basil Brush came back the first time.
Yeah, I think it was early 2000s.
And it was such a big deal because like my parents were like, oh, that's so cool, you get to like experience Basil Brush. Like, he was my childhood and then he's my childhood and now he's going to be somebody else's childhood. I think that's really cool that they've sustained it. Mm.
Well, there's a YouTube app, children's YouTube app, launching today, in fact. And I imagine it'll be on there. But it seems that all these kids' TV shows and stuff and kids' entertainment is all moving to the internet.
Yes.
Which is great, because I don't watch live TV anymore. Or at least when I do, it's very rare. And so I imagine, like, in the future, no one will. So the kids are the first ones not to watch it. And the fact that YouTube's tapping into that is very clever of them, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I don't... That being said, I wouldn't completely... dismiss live television. One of the things that annoys me the most about the cuts to live television currently is that the areas which are being cut are the television that's aimed at young people. Things like the cut.
Yeah, it's like if you want to keep live television going, don't cut the youth audience stuff.
Yeah, well, like the cutting of BBC Three, I have quite a big problem with, because I would argue that. Even though, yes, BBC Three makes some laughably bad programmes and all that.
It also makes some amazing ones.
It makes some amazing ones. And I think it makes more original and more interesting and better original programmes than BBC Four, which is the culture channel.
Yeah, we can't rely on Channel 4 to make all that stuff. We need...
No, exactly. And that's what we're going to be left with. We're going to be left with just Channel 4, which is interesting because that's kind of where back to where Channel 4 started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right on the edge and on the fringes. It's kind of... Cyclical, circular. Cyclical.
That's the one.
Yep.
Worked it out in the end.
Yes.
Oh, for anyone listening who doesn't know what Basil Brush is, why don't you try and explain Basil Brush, Charlie?
Basil Brush is a puppet fox.
Yes, hand puppet.
Yeah, hand puppet.
As in one of those glove ones.
Hand puppet fox, who wears a green jacket and says jokes and then says ha 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 boom boom.
Yeah, and he also breaks the fourth wall a lot.
He does.
And it's essentially aware of how bad the concept is.
Yes. He has a very big tail.
I think it might have been my first introduction to sort of meta comedy and fourth wall breaking comedy when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, because he had like a proper sitcom.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't he? Like, it was a proper three camera.
Yeah, because they used to walk set. Across the sets and make a joke of the fact that the sets were right next to each other.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know.
You don't see that a lot.
Now I'm tempted to go back and rewatch it, but it might not hold up and it might be really disappointing. But
it might be amazing. You might watch it and go, oh, how did I forget about this? Okay, and my last news story of the week is Oculus have launched a story studio to explore VR, which is virtual reality cinema possibilities. So Oculus are the virtual reality headset. It was originally designed for Microsoft, I think, or video games of some sort. Microsoft have got one of their own now, but then Facebook acquired it and everyone stopped caring about Oculus. But there's a few headsets going around, but virtual reality seems to be coming a thing again. And the fact that they've made a story studio to sort of invest in film possibilities for virtual reality is huge, I think.
Yes, I have to acknowledge that I do just sort of, in these general situations, I either think of the plot of Stormbreaker.
You'll have to remind me of the plot. Oh, the where he goes into the video game and which is basically the Kinect.
Yeah. Or the holodeck in Star Trek.
That's what I want it to be. I want it to be the holodeck.
Well, the holodeck's fine, but in Star Trek, like, there's an episode every series, and sometimes two episodes every series, in which people get stuck in the holodeck. Like,
holodeck breaks.
The holodeck turns evil. Like, it's a repeated plot device, probably for the sake of expense. But it does, like, set this innate fear in my head for it as a concept.
That the holodeck will break.
Well, yeah, like, in the situation, like, somebody could, like, troll you or something, if you were to do, like, a proper virtual reality
And
it would be really, it could potentially end up being really traumatic. I think it'd be something that you have to really be careful about. Yeah.
I feel that it would be more like the Imaginarium room in Community.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
The holodeck. I've been rewatching Community, it's on Netflix.
I know.
I've watched longer than I watched before, only up to season three, and I gave up, and now I'm in season four.
Oh, why did you give up?
Because it went on hiatus, and then I never got back into it.
Oh. No, yeah, that's a good point.
But I've got my brother watching it, and he came to my room the other day and goes, Jane, yes, do we have, what channel is it? Do we have, that season six Community's on?
Oh, isn't it on Yahoo Online?
Yeah, he goes, do we have Yahoo Video in the UK? I was like, I have no idea why. He's like, oh, Community's going to be on it. I was like, even if we don't have it, Netflix will pick it up. They won't have just put five seasons on for no reason.
Yeah.
But sorry, that was a bit of a side tangent. Oh, it's not that much of a side tangent. Community have done animated episodes.
They have, they're really good.
I watched the video game episode recently.
Yeah.
That's a great episode. Yeah. It's got Gus from Breaking Bad in it.
Yeah. He appears in, like, the most eclectic mix of things.
He does. He'll just pop up and you'll be like, oh, it's Gus. Is he going to be terrifying or awesome?
Yeah.
Or both.
Or both.
So that's all I've got on news. Have you got anything else on news?
No.
Which means we'll move on to Film Club.
Ooh.
What was that?
I don't know.
The Moving Lanterns podcast.
So our Film Club this week was Brave. Charlie, do you want to explain the plot of Brave?
So you've got Merida, who is... Okay, I'll start again. So it's set in Scotland in a time sort of quite early when there are like clans and things. And Merida is the daughter of the king and the queen of the clan. And she is expected to marry the son of one of three men who kind of have to sort of battle it out in these games in order to win her heart. But she doesn't want to be dictated to who she wants to marry, so she manipulates the game so that she wins them, so she can decide who she marries.
That's the first 20 minutes.
Then a different film appears to begin.
Yep.
In which she randomly gets given a spell by a witch which turns her mother into a bear.
Yep. randomly.
And then the rest of the film...
You say witch, woodcover.
Okay. The rest of the film is Merida trying to turn her mother into a human again whilst not allowing her father to kill the bear.
Yes.
And that's the rest... there is literally just a split and then, the stuff from before isn't really spoken about again, and it's just a bit...
It's kind of two films.
It's like... Is it? Well, just that, I mean, you probably know the production and the process that it got made in more than me, but is it two films that were spliced together? Because...
Kind of. It was... I can't remember her name. The woman who co-directed it, she was initially... It was her project, and then they put someone else on it as well,
right,
and changed the direction of the story. So, right, sort of.
Because it was really strange. And because of that, it wasn't paced very evenly, and I found it a bit boring.
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't... First time I saw it, I was sort of like, oh, it's not Pixar's best. But I think it's better than people give it credit for. A lot of people really hate it, and I think it's okay. I don't think it's awful.
I don't really hate it, but, it's just a bit... And, sort of the bear thing. Like, it's not really explained why bears, no. That has no... Because I would expect... Personally, I would expect a sort of a Pixar-level film... that the animal would have some form of significance,
yeah,
narratively, metaphorically. I was actually sat there for most of the bear part of the film thinking, why is she a bear?
Yeah, why a bear out of everything? I mean, I guess it's so that they can have the whole revenge plot with her husband for avenging his leg, whatever, but it's still, it could have been something significant.
That was unimportant to me because the film isn't about the father, the film is about Merida.
Yeah, and her mother.
And their relationship, and to be honest, I just felt that entire, you could have had a really nice, interesting, kind of almost character piece of an animated film if you just kept it with what they were doing at the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning did start off very character piece.
And actually examined, and it would have given the opportunity to actually examine the relationship between the mother and the daughter, and the feminist aspects of the film. But the problem was that they turned her mother into a bear. So all of that was removed because she's a bear.
Yeah, and she can't talk to
Merida. She can't talk. And...
So I'm going to quickly go through my notes from watching the film.
Okay.
So first of all, it's very pretty. Like, the animation of Scotland is just like...
Mm, I agree.
Oh, it's so pretty. I was like, when I've been to Scotland, I wish it looked like that. I'm sure there are parts that do look like that I just haven't been to. Toddler Merida, at the beginning, is adorable. Are there bears in Scotland?
Oh, we did actually Google this one. There used to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I was watching it going, bears. Okay, Scotland. Are there bears in Scotland? Because there definitely aren't in England.
Well, there aren't any more. Oh. No, there are bears in Scotland. A long time ago. Like bears and wolves.
I'll forgive that slightly then.
Yeah.
The cliche Pixar montage song. It feels like it's there because it has to be, particularly the one at the beginning of the film, and it's so early, I'm not invested at that point. The ones towards the end were a bit better, but that one at the beginning, I'm sitting there going...
No, we were just like, these songs are here so that they can get nominated for Best Original Song.
These songs are here because it's a Pixar film and they have to have this random songs that aren't musicals, but are songs.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. I did like that there's an actual complex mother-daughter relationship, and the mother isn't really the bad guy.
Mm.
But, like you say, I wish I'd have done more on that. I'm so impressed with the animation on Merida's hair. Mm. They had, it wet and dry and running and in the wind. And it's. I know with Monsters, Inc., hair was really difficult for them to do. And they, developed it with The Incredibles. And where they're actually with now is just amazing. And my last note is, I think Craig Ferguson has to be in every animated film with a Scottish character. Because he seems to be.
I know. Oh,
I sat there going, is that Craig Ferguson? I was like, yeah, must be.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of... It was fine. But, like, I mean, going back to what we were talking about earlier with the Pixar moving more towards Disney.
Yeah.
And being less of their own entity. I thought the relationship between Merida and her mother was very similar to what they tackle in Frozen.
Yeah, this was before Frozen, though.
I know. But... I'm not knocking it, I kind of have 2 points. So, but it was kind of a similar relationship, and you could tell that, you would be able to tell that they were made by, financed by the same people. And the second thing is, just from a feminist's perspective, it really... A lot was made about the fact that this was the first Pixar film that had a female protagonist.
Yes, it was.
And it annoyed me that it's also notably the first Pixar film that features princes and princesses.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't really see why...
Because the Disney princess line needed a new character.
Yeah.
There hadn't been one between, well, since... Tangled in 2010, and that wasn't a big success, so they needed something big, and there wasn't going to be another animated film from Disney until Frozen.
Yeah, which takes us to back to the combining of the studios.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a shame. That sort of.
So overall, we thought Brave was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, but not like
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, we need to decide what to watch next week for Film Club.
We do.
Shall we see what's on Netflix?
Let's.
I should point out, there's now a page on the website for Film Club. If you go, you can make a comment on what you thought of the film. The Brave one will be up until next Tuesday, and then the new one will come up, so it's a week before our podcast, and then the week after, so it's time for people to discuss it before and after we do. So go and leave your thoughts on there.
Tracy Beaker. The story of Tracy Beaker is on Netflix. Sorry.
That's not animated, Charlie.
I know, I'm sorry. This is just...
You're just literally,
this
your
is
childhood.
Brilliant. This is, like, recommended for you, right? Better Call Saul, Tracy Beaker... Breaking Bad.
What have you been watching?
I don't know.
I guess Brave made Tracy Beaker come up there.
Maybe. Both have curly hair.
They do. I can see your 5-star picks on my Netflix right now.
What are my 5-star picks?
Back to the Future, Fargo, In Bruges, Into the Wild, North and South, Memento, Wallace and Gromit: Curse of the Were-Rabbit, Old Boy, Dr. Parnassus, Submarine. They are your 5-star picks.
Excellent.
Family Guy's on Netflix. That'll be my evening gone.
Is there a way of explicitly searching for animation?
No, I normally... Oh, Megamind is on Netflix. I've never watched Megamind. But I know a lot of people who love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I watched the first half an hour of it once.
So you don't feel like doing Megamind?
Well...
It's The Road to El Dorado.
Oh, can we do The Road to El Dorado?
We can totally do The Road to El Dorado.
Oh, good times.
I love The Road to El Dorado. All right, we'll do that for next week.
Okay.
Or week after next, this podcast fortnightly. So we'll do The Road to El Dorado.
Yes.
So, any final thoughts, Charlie?
I haven't looked up a quote.
So no.
No, sorry, I forgot.
That's all right. Okay.
Oh, no, so... no, yes. Ask me again.
Any final thoughts, Charlie?
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Mm.
The Lego Movie. I mean,
yeah.
Let's end the podcast and everything is awesome.
Yeah.
The Moving Lanterns Podcast.